Good day, friends. It's good to greet you once again as we come to you by means of radio into your family circle. We trust you'll let us come into your house and also into your heart. You know, we're going to begin a series today that we simply entitled Living Oracles. And this indicates that the Word of God is really alive, and it means it's something that can be practiced. It's practical. It can be used in our everyday life. And I thought for the next 8 broadcasts, we'd just look upon this as though we'd come to your front door and you'd invite us into your house, and we'd taken our Bibles and we're sitting down. And now let's just picture us being in your front room around your dining room table and talking about the greatest book in the world that has living oracles that certainly are lively and can be carried out in our life. We're going to be looking at the Epistle of James in this series, and of course we'll go other places preaching the Word, giving you many, many passages. And I want to say that if there's any questions you have about these practical lessons from the Word of God, you feel free to send them in. Now, you can always send your letter or card to the congregational address that's bringing you this broadcast on this station, or directly to the station. We just suggest that you mention Church of Christ Broadcast, and we'll try to deal with your questions, and we appreciate any of your comments, pro or con. You know, it's a wonderful thing to realize that people who have the opportunity of taking the Bible and sitting down and talking about it together have a wonderful opportunity to learn. And I don't know how you feel about this, but throughout the years we feel that there's a greater personal touch in studying the Bible in a family circle or even in a one-on-one situation than there is perhaps in the services of the church. Now, that's no reflection upon the Bible study at the church building, because this can be very enlightening and very edifying and very beneficial. A lot of times people will not ask questions in the assembly. They'll not ask questions in a church building or in a class period at a church building. But I found those people very willing to ask questions and make comments in their own home. So why don't you plan to be with us now each time that we come here looking at living oracles? We're going to begin today with a very outstanding subject that confronts every one of us in the life today. You know, the book says in the 12th verse of this first chapter of James, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him." The point is that men are going to be tempted, women are going to be tempted. We're constantly before this in the world. It's before us, and we're before it. And how we really handle a temptation is an important thing, and the Bible gives us a know-how in this. I want to consider 2 forms of testing. I like to think of the word temptation as a true test, and to show you how it can be a test of our faith, we might especially think of the teaching that was found back in the Old Testament in the days of Abraham. If you're interested in reading that account, that perhaps you know so well, in the 22nd chapter of Genesis, how that God asked Abraham to offer Isaac, his only begotten son — I say his only begotten son, it was the only begotten son of promise — upon a mountain. He didn't really tell him where it was to begin with. He just simply told him to take his son and he'd show him where he should go. And you remember Abraham did that. And even though this was contrary to all, we might say, the nature of God, human sacrifice, Abraham had enough faith in God when he was put to the test that he said to the man, when he was at about a place to take his son Isaac and slay him, he said, "You stay here, and the lad and I will go and worship and come again unto you." So that indicates to me that Abraham's faith, as he met this test, was strong enough to believe that if he did take the life of Isaac, which he probably thought that he would do, that God would raise him from the dead. Well, you may say, "Preacher, right at the beginning, I don't have faith that strong." Well, let's say however strong or however weak our faith may be, we can always make it stronger, I'm sure. Let's see how God has told us through the teaching of the Holy Spirit that we can meet the test. Now, I want to drop back in the first part of the chapter here to verse 2, where we have this statement. "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations," or different temptations. Someone might say, "Well, how in the world could there be a joy when you're really put to a test, when your faith is put to a test?" Well, listen to verse 3. "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience," or endurance. "But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting or lacking nothing." This is a type of test I think that would be equivalent, we might say, to the hardships of life that a person might have, the things that they can't understand that happen to them in their family circle. And I run into this all the time as a preacher of the gospel and talking to people. Someone will say, well, why did the Lord let this happen to me? Or why did this take place in my family? And you know, a lot of times we can't answer that question because we don't know the full mind of the Lord. But there's always a reason, and whatever confronts a person who loves the Lord, let's keep this thought in mind, that Romans 8 and 28 is just as true as anything could be, friends, where it said that we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So this is hardship. This is difficulty. Maybe a man's lost his job. Maybe there's been sickness in the family circle. Maybe it is a loss of finance. It may be a problem that he can't solve, it would seem. Now, he said to keep in mind that you face this not with dismal disarray and realizing that you're not going to be able to do it. Now, you can't do it by yourself. In fact, the Lord didn't ask you to do it by yourself. Of course, if you're not a Christian, you're faced with a different set of circumstances. It's very, very difficult for you to call upon God as your Father if you're not born into his family. So, you see, this puts prayer in, we might say, a bad situation as far as you're concerned. So the point is to become a Christian, and we've often told you on this broadcast how you do that. This is going to help you to stand the test. This is going to help you to strengthen your faith. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God in Romans 10:17. And we've stated how that one hears the Word, believes it, repents of his sins, confesses his faith in Christ, that he believes Christ is the Son of God and is baptized into Christ in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Now, that'll help a great deal. So the point is to realize that whatever your circumstance is in life, that the testing of your faith can actually come out as that which will be stronger, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience or endurance. You may say, well, it's going to be very difficult for me because I've never gone through a circumstance like this before. Well, keep in mind that Jesus has encountered every difficulty that we would ever encounter in life. And you know, when he issued that wonderful invitation in the 11th chapter of Matthew, you remember that in verse 28. When he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And what did he ask us to do? He asked us to get in the yoke with him, to be in fellowship with him, to be a part of him. And you know, this is going to help us at the time when we're put to the test. And then going back to the 12th verse where we begin on the broadcast today, where it says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. You see, there's going to have to be a test here. And it also says, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. So it gets right back to obeying his commandments. As Jesus said in John 14 and 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. And as John said in the second writing, the second general epistle in verse 6, this is love, that we walk after his commandments. Now listen to this form of testing in the 13th verse. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man, we can truthfully say, with evil. Now God does permit us to be put to the test. But keep this thought in mind, that in the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and this is imperative that we make this connection to understand this passage, two verses in the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians, verse 12 and verse 13. The 12th verse says, he that thinketh he standeth, let him take heed lest he fall. The 13th verse, there is no temptation taken you but what is common to man. God will not permit you to be tempted above what you're able to bear, and with the temptation will make a way of escape to bear it. Now let's see what the way of escape will be here. In the first case, with the hardship and the difficulty, lean upon the Lord. Let your faith be strong in him, just like Abraham's faith was strong in God. His faith was that I'll do what God wants me to do, and the things I can't do, I'm sure God will take care of it. And that's exactly what happened. Because you remember that story of Abraham offering Isaac had a wonderful ending, that he was about to slay Isaac, but then there was the voice, Abraham, Abraham. And he had seen how Abraham's faith was tested, and there was the ram caught by its horns in the thicket, and that became the sacrifice rather than his son Isaac.
Now listen to this form of temptation now. Let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. But here's how one is tempted. Verse 14, but every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin when it is finished bringeth forth death. Now here's the crux to the whole thing, I believe, found in that 14th verse. Every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. You know, a lot of times when people talk about lust, they talk about the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, and that's true. But they think of this as being something that is on the outside. But I believe this is a form of temptation or a testing that begins on the inside. The lust is generated. Now, someone says, how are you going to keep this from happening? Well, it's just like the old statement, you can't keep the birds from flying over your head. But you know how to keep them from setting up housekeeping in your hair. You know how to do that. So the point is that we resist the devil and he'll flee from us. The point that is very clear here in any form of temptation, any form that the devil is putting before us, he cannot force us to sin. Notice what is mentioned here. Every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. You see, there has to be a drawing away from God. Now, you think about this, and we may have prompted a number of questions, and as we leave your home today, it's been good in this short quarter hour to talk to you about a real practical subject. You're going to be put to the test. I'm going to be put to the test. We're going to be confronted with lust of the flesh and all those things. And here's a teaching in the first chapter of James that tells us how to win the battle. Going to have to leave you. Time is up. Tell your friends and neighbors about this broadcast and be with us next time as we come back to your family circle for another study of the living oracles.